Well, good evening, good morning. Thank you for tuning in. I am Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. If you've missed any of tonight's show, shame on you. We've had quite a rabble-rouser going. You can always find the past shows by going to coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com. And become an insider for 15 cents a day. A one-year subscription will get you access to 5 years of past shows, so you never miss a minute in the best of overnight talk radio. You also get live chats with the hosts and the guests. You get all the great information there. And, hey, there's something pretty cool going on right now. If you go check out the website at Coast to Coast AM, you'll find information there about two of George Norrie's projects. You're going to be able to find Beyond Belief there, or you can just go straight to beyondbelief.com. Right now, 99 cents for a monthly promotion to watch the TV show, and that way you can see some of the best of the guests that George talks to and see some of the things that they bring forth. And again, that's just 99 cents for a monthly promotion. Go check that out at beyondbelief.com. And if you're looking for love in all the wrong places, it's time you turn your intentions elsewhere. ParanormalDate.com, now over 22,000 strong with the free signups. And if you'd like to sign up and become a full-time member, there is a code word you need, August, to get you deep discounts, and then maybe you'll find the love of your life. We've got open phone lines this evening. It's an exciting night here on Coast to Coast AM, as it always is. I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to chat, or if you are too afraid to pick up the phone, but you'd like to shoot me an email, you can do that at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. We'll continue with your emails and your calls right after this. Phone lines are lighting up. Let's take your calls for the next 2 hours. Wildcard Line 5, Eric in Hamford, Connecticut. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Certainly, Eric. What's going on this evening?
Nothing. I just wanted to comment on your earlier guests and other times on other Coast to Coast shows. People made the comments of police. There's an agenda for police to, you know, just arrest people and go after their guns. I've been a police officer for almost 19 years. I know probably hundreds of police officers. I've attended schools in other states. And the average cop, I just may tell you, there's no agenda. We're not coming after you. I could pretty much guarantee you that if an order like that came down, there'd be a big rebellion. I know there are, there is probably a government agenda, but it doesn't involve, like I said, local police. Maybe that's why there's a push to get a national police force or have Homeland Security start, you know, taking over law enforcement roles. But the average cop, there's no doubt in my mind that if an order like that came down, we would all rebel against it. So I hear people talk about it, and it makes me go crazy because, you know, we're not out to hurt people. We want to keep people safe. You know, and there's bad people out there. Like you mentioned, there's bad cops, there's bad firemen, but even the corrupt police officers that are out there, you know, there's just no agenda. It's false. And I mean, that's just all I have to say about that.
Let me ask you this, Eric, as somebody who is out there serving and protecting, do you think that there's enough being done for law enforcement officials for psychological evaluation? Even people that are healthy and balanced, do you think that they should have more, and I don't mean like an IAD way where, you know, internal affairs is messing and trying to trip you up or cause problems, but do you think that there needs to be a way for police to decompress? Do you believe that there should be strategic ways to help out our law enforcement, so maybe some of these moments of aggression are being played out a different way instead of what's happening as we're seeing all across the news almost on a daily basis?
Well, you know, getting on the job for, I can't speak for every state, but I'm pretty sure it is nationwide that there's, you know, polygraphs are required, psychologicals required, physicals required, et cetera. And, but I'm pretty sure psychological is only required just to get on the job. There's no, we're not pulled in once a year or every couple of years and evaluated by a psychologist. I have worked with officers that have been pulled into the chief's office because they had personal problems going on and they were sent for evaluations. And that's generally how I think how it works. And that, you know, that goes for anything from, again, just personal problems to doing stuff on the job that's kind of not the norm. And, you know, and then again, they're evaluated and determined whether or not they're fit for duty. I mean, policing, you know, again, years ago, it was more of a, you know, I don't want to say a brotherhood, but it was, you know, we took care of our own kind of thing. But in this day and age with lawsuits and liability and everything, it's just, you know, in the way the economy is, no one wants to lose their job. So if someone's not doing what they're supposed to, someone's generally going to report it. You know, and because ultimately, if I'm on a call and you do something that's not correct, I can potentially, you know, suffer a loss of job for that, or, you know, suspension, because I chose to not, you know, report it or not stop what you were doing. And, you know, I have a family, as most guys, most people do. And it just, that's what it is now. It just, they make it clear cut that if I'm somewhere and I don't act, then, basically, you know, I could suffer consequences for that. So into that aspect of it, as far as the aggression side of things, that does happen. Again, we're people. I mean, you know, we're, you know, someone, I mean, with cameras now, most departments, I mean, we've been wearing cameras for about a year and a half now. You know, the days of someone spit on you or hit you, and, you know, you basically, you take them into custody for that. Sometimes it got a little physical. With cameras now, that tends to not happen, which you could say is good or bad, but that sometimes gets frustrating for the officer, because again, if you're spit on or hit, and, you know, you just only can put someone in handcuffs, and then you arrest them, and they wind up going to court, and it's throughout the next day, and nothing happens with it, that builds up. So what is the right thing to do, you know?
Right. Well, and that's why I'm asking. You know, I've got family that are part of law enforcement and good people, and they've spent their lives trying to help. And I know that they're, you know, underpaid and overworked and in stressful situations. And, you know, we all make bad choices. We all make bad decisions. And unfortunately, law enforcement is held to a higher standard of conduct because these are our leaders. These are the people that we want to respect and trust. So I understand why some of the, you know, public outcry is so tough on it. But I think that a lot of them forget what it's like to be in the situation and deal with it on a daily basis. And again, I'm not making, just like you aren't, making any excuses for the people that are using over-the-top tactics and abuse. That's just not right in any field. Eric, I'm curious, as a police officer, do you get called to situations that you would deem paranormal? Do you get called to homes where they're hearing footsteps or things? Or do you go investigate? There's no one there.
It's not a common call for us. It does happen. Generally, we usually just chalk it up to, you know, the person's maybe a little, you know.
Unbalanced, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
you know, if. I guess if it, again, I never experienced an actual, I mean, I'm open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it's something that I necessarily couldn't explain, then, you know, I would probably report it, but then I would probably look at it as being nutty myself, and we'd probably joke about it. But I personally never experienced it where I really believe there was, you know, something going on more than just the person being a little unbalanced. But I'm sure it does happen out there. It's, you know.
Well, Eric, thank you for calling in. And please, thank you very much for choosing to serve and protect the people. I appreciate that. I know that's not an easy job. First time caller line, we've got Randy in Warland, Wyoming. You're on the air.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Randy.
Thanks for answering my call. I just moved here to Warland on the first of the month, and my niece and nephew took me up in the Bighorn Mountains just to do some hiking because I'm disabled and I wanted to get out. And so we're out there hiking, looking for rocks, and we go off this little ridge and drop down and walk about a mile and a half, and start hit this knocking. First there was knocking with rocks together. And then it stopped and walked about, I don't know, 30 more feet. And then the knocking started with a sound like a big branch against a hollow log or something. And then so we just kept walking. We were kind of spread out, walking, looking for rocks, and getting some exercise. And my niece and nephew had told me before that when they were up there, they heard knocking before. My niece was walking. There's kind of like a pine. They're real small trees, but really thick. And she said once they were up there, there was a knock, and the force was so loud and powerful, the wind just blew her hair back, and there was no wind at all. Also, and anyway, we kept walking, and we come to this ledge, and there's rock cliffs all over caves, and we stopped there. I'd taken a few pictures of my niece and nephew because I didn't have any. And then I started seeing something like a cave up across this little ravine. So I'm looking, and it looks like there's two Sasquatch looking at that. One of them has, like, is white around the bottom, like it was old, like it had a beard.
Okay.
Chest was kind of white, and so I snapped about 3-4 pictures, and then we walked back a little ways from where we came and started hearing some knocking got real loud. So I told my niece, let's get out of here. I was getting pretty wore out. I didn't have any water or nothing, so we headed back to the car, and we headed real fast. I didn't look back. I asked my niece if she did, and she said, yeah. I kept looking back. My nephew went up the ridge, and I couldn't make it. But anyway, we come back the next weekend. We get up on the other side where there's this flat plateau, and we're looking up there. I start hearing knocking. And then I heard a whoop. It was like, whoop. And so I said, hey, I'm going back to the car. This is getting pretty weird for me, you know. I always wanted to see one up close. But
right. Yeah, boy, you certainly got an up-close visitation. Thanks a lot for calling in. Randy, your line's really rough. If you can call back and if you want to continue talking, we just need a better line. Let's go wild card line 3, Sue in Dayton, Ohio. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, Dave, that one was priceless, that last one. That was great. This has been all over the world, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, but that's the beauty of the show, right? We never know what the topic's going to turn to. So what did you want to chat with me about?
I'm a big caller for you. I've called George a lot, usually on science and astronomy, but you were asking that one, or you were posing the question about you've noticed that many times that, you know, people have tried to cast out demons or deal in spiritual warfare, and it's not been effective. And yeah, I think we've all seen that, especially I might go so far as to say a lot of the television shows over-dramatize and theatricize it, and I think that's not right. But nevertheless, what you were asking, like what maybe the secret is, and it just happened to me, and believe me, there's times in my life I've actually engaged in it, and sometimes it went very, very wrong, some spiritual warfare. And I was always aware of something in my life that I shouldn't be doing, or something that I needed to work on.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anger, it could be bitterness or something. And our Buddhist friend that called a little while back really nailed it on the head. I was laughing because he had just had it about purity and holiness. And also you asked, it has to be there. Because these entities are extremely powerful. They know about you. You can use Jesus' name, whatever you want. But as long as you've got something going on in you, you're not going to have that authority. I'm sorry anybody's doctrine is blown, but you can find that in all throughout scriptures. And I think it's common sense, right? Also, when the apostles came to Jesus and they said that they tried to cast out this demon and it wouldn't go, he said, oh, you of little faith. He said that cases like this require fasting and prayer. And many of the faiths do fast and pray. So I just thought I would add that to you. But what I really wanted to discuss has nothing to do with that. I was on the line. Something that's very disturbing in the world, and the people call it the New World Order. My mind is it's the same world order that it always was since the days of the Pharaoh. There's a power grab, people get in power, they network, And they go as far as they can. They use technology now, and that increases the ability to be able to do this to all of us. We have to remember that we, you, I, and all the viewers are the majority. We cannot allow these people to divide us. That's the real power that they have. It's not over us. It's in their ability to divide us. And they do it on religious grounds. They do it on ideological grounds. They do it on stupidest things you could ever imagine. But one thing that disturbs me these days, and I pay attention to a great deal that's going on in Europe, and especially Eastern Europe, is the true an absolute rise of Nazism to a glorification. Literally, some of these people, like even in Ukraine, which our government supports here, glorify Stefan Bandera, people who were some of the most brutal Nazis that even the German Nazis absolutely jailed themselves because they were crazy. They were really gone. Sick, sadistic people. And you see the rise of Nazism in many of the Scandinavian countries, the Baltics. And I thought maybe you might elaborate on that, because I don't want to be the only one mentioning this, but it is a reality, and it is a divisive tool, just the same as ISIS. I would call ISIS the Islamic form of Nazism, in truth. So that's about what I wanted to say. I just wanted people to, whatever faith, pray for the people that we won't be divided. That's the worst thing we could have.
I agree, and unfortunately, I feel that that's kind of what's going on in the world around us. I think that's why you see people that love and hate people like Donald Trump. In one sense, they'll go on and say something which seems so crazy, and then in the next breath, they're saying something that's logical, and, you know, it's trying to figure out how to bring people together, and I'm not siding on anybody's one side of the political forum here, but we have such a division of beliefs and such a division of country and faith, and we don't stand up for our people anymore. It's, I don't know where we stand. The future for us and for our country, to me, is in a very frightening place. And I know people are seeking guidance. They're seeking help and leadership that I don't know that they're necessarily getting. Well, obviously, they're not getting in a lot of ways, from spiritual to financial to educational. It's just not as available to people. And, you know, I'm hoping and praying that we can find some kind of way to come together. And does it, you know, I know that that's part of what the New World Order wants, right, is everybody to come together under one defining line, and this is how we're going to be. And I know that's scary, and I'm certainly not sure I believe in that either. But I do believe we need to come together in good, and we need to just start focusing on positive. And we've seen ways, you know, even with the riots that have taken place, we've seen communities come together and riot in a positive way, affirmative way, to make a message and a statement known, and we've seen it go horribly, horribly wrong. And more people are taking notice of the ones that are going right. And I think that's, you know, the first stance. We have to start seeing the way that people react with one another and start treating with one another. And if you can't treat each other with love and respect, we're not going to get any further.
I agree. I might add that it seems as though the sort of an agenda, and I think that you would agree with this, concerning the so-called world order, whatever, I don't care what you want to call it, but Bilderberg, I don't care. That you can give it any name you want. I think many of us are aware of it. We know the movers and shakers. It's not any one agenda. It's whoever is in a place of power and can make an influence. It is very wealthy, obviously. But I think that the way that we see some of the most peculiar rules and laws coming about that just don't really seem to make any sense at all, and divisiveness like Nazism being tolerated, in fact, if not lauded, it seems to me as though our traditional, your traditional might be a little different than mine, but most societies have what maybe is called a common norm. It's what's kept their society cohesive.
Right. It's the coming together and understanding in one certain positive way, and making a community. And I think we've broken away from that. Thank you for calling in. We have to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more calls lining up. It's open phone lines on this Coast to Coast AM. Hey, that's me. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Coast to Coast AM, and it's open phone lines. I'm also taking your emails if you want to send them to me at dave@darknessradio.com. darknessradio.com. That's Dave at darknessradio.com. If you enjoy Coast to Coast AM, then you can join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time, as we explore the strange and unusual, from ghosts to UFOs, Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, true crime, and more. You can find all the information on our show at darknessradio.com. And there's a live stream. You can stream the show right from there. And as soon as our show wraps up, stay on there, because George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey. All right, here's a quick email. Hello, Dave. You can call me Max. Please, please help me and try to answer the question tonight for me. I'm at work and cannot call in. I've been working third shift for about 1.5 years now, and that's how I discovered the world of Coast to Coast. At first, I laughed and thought all of you were crazy. But then I started doing some research. George Norrie is my Morpheus, and I have taken the red pill. Here goes my question. I am now a firm believer, but feel so alone. Is there an underground? Is there a resistance movement in America? I know something big is about to happen to all of us. I just want to be a part of the ones fighting the good fight against the forces of darkness. I know it's a long shot, but it's all I have. Thank you. Well, Max, you know, they say there's an underground movement going on. There's quite a few people. There's postings all over the internet. If you go out there, I'm sure you'll find people to connect with that can help you and maybe support your thoughts and belief systems and give you the answers you're seeking. So just go on out and look for truthers. Look for people like that, and I think you'll find the answers you need. Let's go to Wildcard Line 4. We have Steph in Louisville, Kentucky. You're on the air. Steph,
good morning,
are you there?
Brother man. How are you?
Good, Steph. How are you?
I am blessed, sir. Thank you, first of all, for being salt and light. And thank you also for the honor of being on with you tonight. We know salt purifies and light reveals truth. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, I appreciate that.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
You're very welcome. I'm sure you've heard the term radicalized Muslim. Well, I'm a radicalized hillbilly. And this has occurred because in the last year or so, I was awakened to find that everything I hold dear and value most seemed to come under attack, that being my faith, family, and freedom. I couldn't even define who the enemy was. So I began to pray, and I prayed for revival of my spirit, for revelation of the truth, and a reminder or a remembrance of our history so we wouldn't be doomed to repeat it. And I went about trying to educate myself. I went back and I started reading that old book that my folks read and put such stock by growing up. I read the documents that our founding fathers created for us to guide us. And I've become confused. I don't understand why the lawlessness that troubles all of us in these troubled times has been allowed to take place. And it's not lawlessness on the streets. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't understand these things. There are folks in public office who've taken oaths to uphold and defend our Constitution that are not only not upholding and defending it, but they've gone about destroying it by degrees on a daily basis. So thank you
for
what you're doing.
Here's the thing, Steph. One thing that we've learned through history, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Good people sometimes get drunk with the power that they're given. And when they have the opportunity and they are tempted by things like money or lust, you know, we're weak, right? I mean,
yes,
that's, you know, here's the deal. If we didn't sin, Jesus died in vain, right? I'm not giving the okay for that. But the fact of the matter is we're sin. We make mistakes. We do these things. Why has it happened? It's always happened. It's happened since the dawning of time. You know, most great leaders fall. And you'll see, I mean, this isn't something new. If you remember back into the early 80s, you had all of these religious leaders that were getting busted having sexual liaisons, and yet they're still out there. You've had guys like Peter Popoff who have been out there taunting faith healing and touting the word of Christ, and they get taken off their throne by the amazing Randy, who was able to show how they were faking things and being radioed in information, yet they continue to rise because people want leadership. They want to believe in something so bad that sometimes they'll overlook the negativity just in order to have leadership. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, but that's what people are. We're, you know, we're lambs. We love to follow. We love to follow along things. And that's the way it goes. It's not something new. It's the same old song, just told in a different way. And now, you know, I mean, back in the day, our political leaders and presidents and representatives were doing the same thing over the last 100 years that they're doing now. The difference is now we talk about it. Now there's always somebody looking to sell a book or sell their story or get on social media and become a celebrity and sell their tale. So everybody's looking to cash in on these bits of information. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing on their part, you know, but we've certainly gone away from protecting our own country and protecting our faults and handling it within. And we've now made it a broad spectrum so that we're kind of in a sense, sometimes we're a laughingstock to the rest of the country.
That's right.
But it's because of the way we are now, and we've broken away from community. We've broken away from the way we used to treat one another. We broke away from civility and common sense, and that's where we really need to come back and take things. It's not that hard. We're not so far out of line. I don't think, Steph, that we're at a place where there's no looking back. It's a simple twist of the screw. It's going back to being good and kind and truthful to one another and just doing the best we can. And I think that's when we'll start to see some changes. It doesn't need to be a tidal wave. It doesn't need to be a lightning bolt striking us on the butt to get us going. It's just simply doing the right thing and taking that back and starting, you know, by example, leading by example. And as a father myself, I make mistakes, and I've got to start looking at those. If I want to lead my daughters to make the right decisions for the men they choose, I have to be the man that they want to meet and that they want to be with. You have to set those examples at home, and that's how we need to do it. And if you want your sons to treat women and treat people with respect, you have to be that kind of person. And we all have to take that responsibility back instead of becoming a mamby-pamby world where we point fingers and everybody else is to blame for our faults and our mistakes, and everybody gets a ribbon for participating, and we get back to learning the harsh realities of what life is and learning to step up to that. That's when we'll see some change. Thank you for calling in, Steph. Let's go wild card line one. We've got Jim in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Schrader. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm hanging in there. You know, it's kind of funny thing because I had something to say here, and then your show is, I mean, it's incredible tonight. So I could spit out about a dozen things since I've been waiting online, but of course, you can't keep me on air for 20 minutes. I realize that, so I'm just going to go with the first one. I'm a retired federal agent, and your guest tonight, I really believe you should have not knocked him off the air, because I'm going to tell you right now, I have been abducted, and I have marks to prove it. And your caller was right on the money with everything he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just take your response off the air. If that's
well, don't, and you don't have to, Jim. I'd prefer you take it on the air. Here's my point. We can agree to disagree on the fact, you know, here's the deal. On Coast to Coast, we give a forum, an opportunity for people to come share their stories, to share their beliefs, to share. And that's what this has always been about. It's about giving opportunity. But I ask you this, Jim, if you came or a guest came into your house that you invited, and then treated you poorly and talked down to you, and when you questioned, looking for clarification, got louder and more aggressive, would you want that person in your house any longer?
Well, no, I would agree with you that, Mr. Schrader, right, because that has happened to me, because I will not turn anybody away that's hungry. And there was actually a gentleman that came here one time to my house. It was hot, and I invited him in and let it give him a place to stay for a while and everything, and he did not respect what I told him to do, and he tore my household to heck, and I had to talk
right.
him out.
And that's unfortunately what occurred tonight. All I did was try to direct questions that he made statements as though they were fact. And I'm not questioning that there's not alien abductions and it might be demonic in nature. That's not my question. But I would ask him simple questions about propulsion. I asked him simple questions about, we've heard from from exorcists and demonologists that using the names can cause problems. Do you think that's a problem? And instead of addressing it and making me feel better about it or putting us at ease for understanding, he got more aggressive and angry at me. And the fact is that will no longer become a conducive conversation. And if that's how the aggression was going to continue to build, this talk wasn't going to go anywhere. And perhaps he'll do better coming back with one of the other hosts, because there was obviously tension and aggression between us. So again, this was our home. He came to visit us and was, in my opinion, impolite and did not want to have a conversation. He just wanted to spout his version and not be questioned. And that's not what this is. This is talk radio. And that's what we try to do, is have a conversation. But I do have to take a break, Jim. If you want to hang on and you've got more points, we'll share them with you when we come back. Stay tuned. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, we're back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Before the break, we were talking to Jim in Cleveland, Ohio, Wildcard Line 1. Jim, thanks for hanging in for us. What else did you want to chat about?
Hey, no problem. Yeah, you know, I am a retired federal agent.
Mm-hmm.
And, what else I want to talk about, like I said, you've got an incredible show going on tonight. You want to raise somebody's adrenaline, I'll tell you what, my adrenaline level went way up on this one. But
all right.
I was just talking about your first caller, and I did want to mention now on second thought, now that you have explained that to me, and that I have had to do the same thing, apparently, and he was coming back at you pretty strong there, in case, you know, instead of just letting you make your points.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. Yeah, and again, I'm sorry that it went the way it went. I would have liked to have talked to him. There were other questions that I had, but it just seemed that when I asked that question and it started to get and grow so aggressive, I just didn't see how the rest of the hour was going to go if in one question he was already blasting.
I can hear it in his voice. I'm sorry to talk over you, Mr. Trey.
Yeah, no problem. That's all good. All right, what was your other point or question you'd like to talk about?
Well, that was pretty much it. Like I said, I am an abductee.
How many times have you been abducted that you're aware of?
Twice. I'm aware of.
Okay.
Absolutely, no question.
And how much do you remember about the abductions?
Okay, if you want me to go into detail, I can do that. It's going to take, you know, 3 or 4 minutes here to do it.
That's fine.
All right. Well, one time as a second job, I was working a security detail. And I was parked up on a dark hill overlooking a campground that was being built. And I reached down, turned on my radio because I had a 12-hour shift to sit there. And all of a sudden, there was very, very bright light all around me. And the next thing I knew, I'm looking back down at my car, which, was, by the way, was a 71 Chrysler. I'm a little bit older than you are. And I do not recall being on that craft or anything. However, I do recall still reaching for the radio, and then all of a sudden said, "Good morning, it's 5 o'clock, and 12 hours had gone by that fast. The second abduction, now, this is a biggie, because there were grays. They were pulling me out of my bedroom window.
Now, can I ask? Hold on one second, Jim.
A dream.
Jim.
I thought this was a dream.
Okay. Jim, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, when you said they pulled you out of your bedroom window, was the window closed, or did it open and you went through it, or did you seem to phase through the window?
I phased through the window.
Okay.
The window was closed.
Okay. All right.
And at any rate, I was paralyzed. I couldn't move in this dream. Keep this in mind. This is a dream for now. Okay, listen. Please bear with me.
Okay, I'm with you.
But what I always kept the Colt 380 semi-automatic on my nightstand. I could barely move my right arm, barely move it as hard as I could try, and I grabbed that 380 in my right arm. Yeah, in the dream, okay? And they took me on the craft, and I was laying on that silver, metallic, seemed like stainless steel slab, with machines all around me, and looked like what were giant needles on both sides about to come into my head, with two grays looking at me. And I could barely move my right hand, but I managed to get two shots off. And the second shot, I saw it go right through the gray. And they left the hole the size of a dinner plate. and it was green and blue and red what came out of him. And then I woke up. And I, of course, I woke up, so I grabbed my pistol to tuck it back in my belt as a federal agent. And I keep my pistols explicitly clean, and the bore was fouled. And I checked, and there were two cartridges missing. I asked my children, did you hear any shots last night? They said no. And we combed the house everywhere for empty cartridges. We could not find any. So,
but the gun had spent them. You just couldn't find the empty cartridges.
Two cartridges during the night, yes. And I got four children, believe me. They would have woke up because they were right across the next room from me.
Sure.
House. So make of it what you will.
Did you, now when you have these experiences, did you come back? Did you have any physical proof that you've been
marks
taken?
On me, yes.
Okay.
Triangular marks. My son is also afflicted with this. He's in the room with me right now, by the way. He's also afflicted with this. He wakes up occasionally. Well, it's probably 2-3 times a year we find these marks on us. We show each other, and he'll tell me, Dad, they got me again. And I'm not going to tell you what else he tells me they've done to him, because I just don't want to repeat that over the air. That might be... repulsive to some people.
No, I appreciate that. Let me ask you this. As a federal agent, then,
yes.
What insights do you have? Is there something going on with the government and aliens that you're aware of? Are they allowing this to take place, or do they have no power over it?
They're allowing it. They're, in other words, they're one in the same. As a matter of fact, no, I can't tell you what they call me, because that would be giving out my identity too well. But I'm not your typical federal agent, okay? I don't agree with what the federal government's doing right now. Well, I'm retired now, so there's nothing I can do about it, because I'm an older gentleman now. But I didn't agree with it then, and I actually retired early because of where I saw everything was going, what direction it was going. I would have nothing, no part to do with it, and it's one guy. He can't stop all of them. That's all there is to it, so...
All right. Are you, with all that's going on and you're being abducted, have you found that they're leaving you alone now? Are they moving on to other people in your family or other people in the federal agency that you've worked with?
They moved on to other people in my family. I believe they've left me alone since I nailed the one, because they know that the way I view it is that, for some reason, and I am a very religious man, by the way, I have a God-given ability to overpower them. And they discovered that, and they are, well, what's the easiest way to say it? They're afraid of me now. Like I said, my son still, like I said, I still occasionally wake up with the classic marks on me, the needle marks.
Wow. Well, keep yourself safe, Jim. Thank you for hanging in with us to share the rest of your story. We're going to take a break. We've got more coming up from our listeners. We're open phone lines for the remainder of the show. A whole other hour lined up here for you. And remember, you go check out Coast to Coast AM, become an insider now and get access to this show and 5 years of past shows as well. Plus, you can find all the great information on George's other projects and where you can meet him live. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Coast to Coast AM.